Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Hope you're feeling good. We sure are here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you. Melissa, I want to make sure that we have the time to get into this one as well. We have some information from the president of the Hot Dog Council.
Oh, good. Sorry, that was serious.
Yeah, it was serious, Melissa.
I take my laughter back. I no, apologize. No.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. You're never right to laugh. That was hilarious. Where we're kicking things off in our entertainment news is from a couple of days ago. We did not have time to cover this one on Monday, and I wanted to make sure we had the time to get into this. Michael Imperioli, co-star of playing Christopher Moltisanti on The Sopranos, his famous role was also on White Lotus 2, the season 2. He's gotten behind the camera a lot more. Director, one of the more celebrated and respected director and producers and actors in the industry.
Okay.
And I will journalistically mention that he is one of my favorites. I have always enjoyed his work. I've always looked up to him. Mm-hmm. He's somebody that I admire quite a bit. He tweeted last week, the day the Supreme Court made the ruling that they did, mm-hmm. quote, "I've decided to forbid bigots and homophobes from watching The Sopranos, The White Lotus, and Goodfellas, or any movie or TV show I've been in. Thank you, Supreme Court, for allowing me to discriminate and exclude those who I don't agree with and oppose to."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because he's calling attention to what they actually did.
In the comments section, Poirier went on to say, "Hate and ignorance is not a legitimate point of view."
No. And unfortunately, they're doing away with affirmative action is basically that. It's allowing hatred and bigotry.
Yeah, yeah. So I just first off, I admire this. On a number of levels. For one, if he had said the opposite of this, I in some ways would admire it because we actors and entertainers, Michael Jordan used to always say, "Republicans buy shoes too." When they would ask him why, hey, during your playing career, why don't you ever talk politics? Why don't you ever talk about human rights? Any of these things? Michael would always respond, "Well, Republicans buy shoes too. I'm trying to sell Nikes here and everything." And that to each their own. I don't begrudge him that any more than I would anybody. You know, you got to do your thing in life. I will say though, when you are quiet, that is. What do we always say? That silence is where evil lives. That's how these things happen. Mm-hmm. Great tweet from Jamel Hill. 34% of Harvard students are white. 43% of those students are either legacies, children of faculty, kin of donors, or a recruited athlete. 75% of them would not have gotten in if not for those special statuses. So let's not act like there aren't special statuses already
right.
for these things.
Right.
I got a job years back thanks to affirmative action and did not know how to feel about it at the time. Many, many ethnic people, I am not at all trying to speak for all ethnic people here, but every ethnic person I've ever known, which is quite a few, considering family members and all that and everything, not one of us have I ever heard say, "Oh, I want this job because even though I don't deserve it." Nobody's applying for jobs like that, for one.
No.
They make this sound like, I've been in the custodial industry my whole life, and now I'm going to go jump into the tech world, and I'm going to get a job in there because I'm ethnic or something, or I'm going to get into a university just because of this. You still have to have the grades. You still have to jump through. Do you understand what a person from the inner city has to go through to even get noticed, to even have their resume looked at, let alone get in?
Yeah.
Now, that's completely out there. That's completely gone. None of these things help anybody. Nobody is looking for special treatment. People are looking to even even things out. Mm-hmm.
If you just look at our history across the history of the United States, we talk about this time and time again where let's look at pictures of our presidents, for instance.
Right.
They're all old white dudes. Every single one of them.
Yep.
If we look at our Supreme Court justices, we've got a little bit more diversity right there right now.
Hmm.
But this decision calls into question, and then also, I mean, should we even talk about what's going on with Clarence Thomas and the craziness there? I mean, there's things that are happening in our government that are extremely troublesome and worrisome, and now it's going into what's the latest thing that happened with college admissions? Yeah. How many people were just called into court because they did things to get their kids into college without merit? And now they're taking away another level of evening the playing field for people who don't have massive influence or don't have a ton of money that they can buy their way into one of these prestigious colleges.
I wish they would just own this. I wish they would just say, "Hey, you know what? We're tired of you know doing anything for anybody that isn't us, that isn't white and rich." I wish they would just the tiniest bit more respect for people that would just own these things. It's a little like when somebody's being racist, but they don't want to come out and act like that or say it. Like, just own it. Just own what you are. Like, it's pathetic and childish to the idea of, we're doing this to try to make things more even and more equal. No, you're not. No. You're scared and you're holding on to something that never truly existed anyway, in this idea of what America is supposed to be and what America was and all this. Maybe for the tiniest portion of society, not for the rest of us. Not for the rest of this country. I mean, two different Americas that we've been having for a long time in this country going on.
But the America they want wouldn't be here without immigrants.
Nope. No, but they don't. God help them if they were to ever even come close to admitting that. They can't admit that. Then it puts a hole in their argument.
Who worked in the factories? Who built the railroads? Who still today serves tables in restaurants and works in kitchens and works at fast food restaurants and works at gas stations?
Yep. I don't. I understand. There's certain people that you're never going to get over on the. Never going to hear you on certain things like this. But I mean, come on. If anything else, this kind of stuff is just going to lead to more like Barney movies. And that's where we're going. I have no segue for this, Melissa. I have no way to go into the next conversation. But there is a Barney movie that we have to talk about.
Like the purple dinosaur?
The big purple dinosaur Barney, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a great, but hang on a second, though. Is anybody naming their kids Barney anymore?
Like, I don't
after
think
this?
So.
After, did Barney
Probably
ruin the
not.
Name Barney?
He might have.
Wow,
I mean,
he might have.
You feel a little bad for Barney Fife.
I never thought of Yeah, right? Yeah, poor Barney Fife. Poor Don Knotts. Oh, poor Don Knotts. Back in 2019, it was announced that Daniel Kula, the guy from Get Out and Nope, would be producing a Barney movie. Well, thanks to an executive at Mattel, we finally know a little bit more. He says it'll be a surrealistic, like the world of Charlie Kaufman and Spike Jones type of movie. The guys behind 1999's Being John Malkovich, one of the more weirder movies you'll ever see. Quote, we're leaning into the millennials' angst of the property rather than fine-tuning it this for kids. It's really a play for adults. Not that it's R-rated, but it'll focus on some of the trials and tribulations of being 30-something. Quote, growing up with Barney, just the level of a disenchantment within the generation, it would be so daring of us and really underscore that we were here to make art. So
interesting. Well, there was a lot of controversy about Barney, the show itself, and a lot of people made fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like he said, the people now who did watch that as kids are in their 30s or older. And so making a movie aimed toward them would make a lot more sense than trying to revitalize. Because do any kids watch Barney now?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that it's even on any kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Prime time anything.
I have no idea. I don't know if or when the last time Barney was on TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the only audience they're going to appeal to.
One of the smartest things that they did with the Harry Potter books and movies was growing with their audience.
Yeah.
And everybody's been trying to do something similar since. At least the smart ones do. You know, when we've talked about this a little bit with the new Barbie movie. Used to be, you know, in the 80s, if they were going to do a Barbie movie, well, of course, it'd be designed completely for kids and, you know, maybe a...
Right, a cartoon, typically. Yeah, a lot of animated.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not worried about getting kids. They're worried about getting parents to the movie theater. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get parents there.
It's kind of a shift from the mentality of, okay, well, first we, you know, advertise to parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but wait, there's this whole kid demographic. Now let's just focus on them. And now it's like it's shifting back again. But wait a minute, kids don't actually make a paycheck.
Yeah,
and
right,
kids
right,
are really
right.
expensive yeah. anyway. Mm-hmm. So why don't we, again, advertise to the parents? That seems smarter. They make the money.
Right. And I wonder, I think we'll see a shift again. With this too, as you know, people are going to the theaters less and less. I hope that we I would love to see a resurgence in that. I'd love to see people going back to the theaters and mm-hmm. everything. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well,
I don't know.
I think that the theater industry probably like going to movies mm-hmm. may have to evolve a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to definitely yes. with having far more comfortable seats and some of the like smell-o-vision. I don't know. Yeah, have you ever?
Yes.
Is that an actual thing?
I've never done it, but yeah, I've heard of it. I have heard
and,
of it.
And the
before.
Chairs that move.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, so they're trying some things. They're expensive things.
Yeah.
But it may need to maybe move down to a more intimate type of theater where they're not as big of buildings because they're not expected. When's the last time you went to a movie theater and every seat was filled?
Right.
Never. Never in my lifetime.
Yeah. I maybe, but I. It,
well,
the fact
in
that
bigger
I can't
cities,
think of it
probably.
Tells you right there.
There was one time recently I remember going to see something that just came out and we couldn't get seats.
Yeah.
Or we couldn't get seats altogether or something.
It's
I don't
an
know.
Incredibly rare situation yeah. when that does happen. You're absolutely right. I'm curious how this goes for the movie industry as well
mm-hmm.
As we're going forward here with this because they're not going to stop. They're trying their hardest to pull back on budgets and how much they spend on these movies. But there's too many things that aren't going down that aren't helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be able to really, you know, be able to stop this anytime soon, really.
And you got to find a way to appeal to those audiences and get them out of the house.
Mm-hmm. I just mentioned Harry Potter a moment ago. Not unintentionally, we're going into Harry Potter himself in the next story, Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm.
As you probably heard, HBO Max is rebooting Harry Potter as a series. The question is, will any actors from the movies return? Well, probably not, at least not in their original roles. Mm-hmm. Daniel Radcliffe says, quote, "My understanding is that they're trying to very much start fresh. And I'm not sure whoever is making them will want to make their own mark. They'll want to make their own mark on it and probably not want to have figure out how to get old Harry to cameo in there somewhere. So I'm definitely not seeking it out in any way." He adds, quote, "I'm very excited to have the torch passed, but I don't think it needs to physically pass it."
Right. It'll be interesting to see what they try to do with it because they were such huge phenomena at the time, the books and the movies. I'm afraid I don't know. I think they'd do better if it was animated.
I think the moment passed.
Yeah.
I honestly think that it's not a bad idea if it was 10 years ago. I don't know how well this
they
is going to do now.
The mark.
Yeah. I do this not as an opinion, but I'm basing it on some of the data that I've seen with, you know, some of the video games, some of the things that have come out since, and their popularity has kind of fallen. They have some of this stuff, like this online game that they have, does really well,
mm-hmm.
but it's not doing as well as they expected it to.
Lego Harry Potter, awesome.
Mm. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I still play it every now and then because it's just, I find it fun.
I played it with my sister. Yeah, we loved that game. That was a fun game. It's also pretty cool to me to see that an actor, like so many actors are hanging on to these roles.
He doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't.
Nor does he probably want to. That was his whole childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he's done with it.
I would think. I know I would.
And he can pretty much do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's earned that. He's built his career to the point now where he can do what he wants to do. I mean, he's got this opportunity.
And good for him.
Yeah, more power to him. We mentioned earlier the Raptors dropped a tough one yesterday. In fact, lost the last two after winning the last four.
Yeah.
So hoping to get back into the win column tonight. The Raptors are in at home at Winterfield tonight, hosting the Madison Mallards 550. Our pregame will start. Be sure to join Kevin and Joey for that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fun one. But Melissa, what I wanted to put our focus on is the great event coming up Wednesday, July 12th. Current Technologies Bark in the Park.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your dog out to enjoy the game with you. There will be a dog parade during the game, so be ready for that. That is going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to this every year.
Is this the one where they people dress up their dogs?
Yep. I see there's some of that going on. Yep, there's some
cool.
of that. It's a fun one.
Bonus points for matching outfits.
Yes.
I think that would be
yes.
funny.
Matching jerseys. I like that, too. I like that. Get your tickets for not only Bark in the Park, but for every home game. And be listening to our stations all season long. We're giving away tickets left
home
and right.
The Raptors.
Well, I guarantee it. Spoiler alert, we'll give away tickets this week. We will be doing that, yeah? Go to northwoodsleague.com not only to get your tickets, but catch up on all the information Raptor related and be listening right here, WFHR, home of your Raptors, all season long.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
Welcome to the Sunrise Show. I mean, wait a minute. No. God, I thought we were on WRI for a second there. That was awesome. That was great.
Thanks, Shania.
Yeah, thank you, Shania. Thanks for playing us in. Welcome back to the morning show here with Melissa and James, having some fun and diving into a... I think this could be a That Ain't Right story, Melissa.
Okay.
I like to let you all decide for yourselves out there with these 424-2600 if you want to call up and let us know how you feel about this article. You can call up at any time, but I think you might want to wait until after I'm done with this one.
A lot to unpack here.
Yeah. If you put ketchup on your hot dog yesterday, the president of the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council would like a word with you. Please head to the principal's office. Yes, it's a real thing. He's a real guy. His name is Eric Mittenhall. In an interview for The Fourth, he told Fox News that no one over the age of 18 should be put... I'm sorry. I can't say Fox News with a serious face.
Oh, wow.
I can't do that. I can't come up with another name for that station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway. No one over the age of 18 should be putting ketchup on hot dogs.
Over the age of 18.
Yep. Quote, if you can vote, it's time for your taste buds to vote for a hot dog without ketchup.
Wow.
He said the sweetness is just not the ideal match and suggested mustard, onions, and sauerkraut instead.
Okay.
This isn't the first time he's taken a stance. Back in 2021, he said any hot dog is delicious except for hot dogs with ketchup. If you disagree, please call up 424-2600, and you're not alone. A poll for The Fourth asked people, what's better on a dog, ketchup or mustard? 33% said mustard, 25% said ketchup, and 32% said they like both equally.
Mm-hmm. And together, ketchup
yeah,
and mustard.
Yeah. It also asked the age-old question, is a hot dog a sandwich? 41% of Americans said yes.
A sandwich. I don't know. It's more like a sub. But a sub sandwich, I don't know.
So I think of it as its own thing. Mm-hmm. But if you were forcing me to decide between these categories here, I'm with you. More sub than sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of types of sandwiches. You got a sub sandwich, you got a hoagie, you got a square sandwich, you got a round sandwich. I mean, a burger. I mean, do you refer to a burger as a sandwich?
Mm. According to the Oxford Dictionary, a sandwich is described as two slices of bread, often spread with butter, with a layer of meat, cheese, etc. between them. That doesn't sound like a hot dog to me.
Well, because the bun isn't two slices of bread.
Yeah.
It's a bun.
Yeah.
That's connected.
It's connected.
On one side. If you're lucky.
Yes. Oh, good point there.
Otherwise, the fillings fall out.
I think the bread is a big part of this for me.
Yeah.
I what makes a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
you know?
The type of bread. Now, I was going to, you know, when you started this article and you're saying he's kind of anti-ketchup, I was going to say that this, you know, head of the hot dog and sausage council. Hot dog and sausage council.
Let's get this right. Let's show her some respect here. Let's
show some respect to this guy. I was going to argue that he must be from Europe.
Because they
often don't put ketchup on burgers or on hot dogs.
It's very true.
And their ketchup isn't sweet over there.
That's a good point. Let's take a call. Good morning. What's your thoughts on this?
Okay, so ketchup and mustard is good on a hot dog. Either with a little onion or a little pickle relish. But, you know, James, you have to go back to Chicago.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Look at the true Chicago dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In Chicago, you can lose your Chicago card for putting ketchup on a dog. It is the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest darn thing because I ask plenty of people, a lot of longtime Chicagoans, why? Why is this case? Nobody has an answer. Nobody has a legitimate answer. Nobody has a true reason. It's just tradition. It's just, I genuinely think one guy started this as a joke and it just like ran. Because Midwesterners were so proud, we're not going to admit that we don't know why we do this. We're just going to keep doing it.
Hmm. Do you know, sir?
But I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I hate to say it, but if I have a true Vienna hot dog, I mean, I usually put ketchup and mustard on it too. But
as you
go back, you know, what you're saying about is a hot dog a sandwich? But could you really truly call a ham sandwich if you only use one slice when you fold it? Advocacy here, you know.
See, now these are the tough debates and questions that we need to be having around here. Mm-hmm. We need to be doing more of this.
Gotta figure this out.
This is important stuff. I like this. I love debating and having, like, we don't get enough of this in society anymore. Like, what's the harm? Like having these debates about something that really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter one way or the other.
Well, we can at least laugh at it.
Yes. Always appreciate talking to you, sir. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Have a great one. What I find even funnier though is like so every once in a while, my dad is not. My dad and my mom are very opposite on few things, but one of them, my mom is just a huge, you know, cause type person and can see the cause in almost anything. My father, very laid back, doesn't get on his soapbox very often, but when he does, it's usually with things like this. And I love how passionate he can get about the silliest of things. Duct tape is one of those.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy, there are certain duct tapes you don't mess with. You know, that is not, they're lying to you. That ain't real duct tape, Jimmy. It's not real.
I've used off-brand duct tape, and it is not the same, sir. I agree with you.
And I agree. But, like, he gets really passionate about this. Like he invented duct tape or something, and, like, he's taking it personal.
I'm just going to take his side for a minute imagine that some generic duct tape really let him down. Like, really let him down sometime. And now he feels passionate about it. And I don't blame him.
Wait a minute. Maybe this is something I just don't know about my dad. I got to find out now. You might be onto something there.
Well, because you can fix a lot of things with duct tape, but not if it's not up to par.
Jimmy Fragua, who opened Jimmy's Red Hots in 1954 on the west side of Chicago, believed ketchup was used to cover up the rotten taste of spoiled meat. Ooh. He maintained his hot dogs were too fresh to be covered up, and Jimmy's has never offended ketchup since it offered ketchup since it opened.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is where the trend started in Chicago of not putting ketchup on your dogs.
Well, you know, that is a way that they used to mask, especially before refrigeration. As far as meat goes, sauces and marinades and things that they would put on or serve with meat would cover up and mask rotten smells and things like that. So there's obviously good reason for that.
So I've heard this story before. I didn't know if it was the origin story or not. I've heard this, but I never heard the part about covering up spoiled meats.
Mm.
This is a little new to me. I feel a little foolish not knowing this already, but I haven't heard that before. That ain't right. There's a that ain't right story for you.
There is. Bam. But when you do have good quality meat that tastes good, you shouldn't need to add anything.
Oh, yeah. See, I think we touched on this before. I get a good steak. I don't need any A1 sauce.
Yeah.
I don't need anything on it. I want to just taste the steak. I just want to taste the meat.
Just what Millie said in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. My stew can stand on its own 2 feet.
Oh, that's a good line. It's a good line. We're going to go right from that to the break. We're going to go. We got it. Time now for Melissa's News here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a good start to your Wednesday out there. Anybody else forget it's Wednesday?
Just me, just now.
Yeah, yeah. You said it,
and I was like, wait, oh, you're right.
My brain said it. I didn't register that it was Wednesday right away. My brain saved me on that because I was about to say.
Go brain. Usually we can't say that about our brains.
No, no. This one, I can't take credit for that one. My brain came up with that because I was going to say it was Monday. I've been feeling like it was Monday like since yesterday.
This is going to be the shortest week ever, James.
Yeah, it will be. It will be quite a short week.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I'm about to tell you a bunch of surprising health benefits of whiskey. Now, that does not mean that you just go out and start changing water for whiskey. Don't go doing that. Don't go doing any of those things. But I do find it interesting that there are any health benefits to whiskey. I mean, that this list is longer than one, I think, is kind of interesting in itself.
And all right.
Let's go over some of these. Whiskey is loaded with vitamin C. Drinking a shot of whiskey gives you a full day's supply of vitamin C and without all the other, you know, annoying vitamins.
or nutrients.
yeah, I don't know. slightly preventing cancer.
Slightly preventing.
Okay, you really, really grasping at straws here when the slightly is in there.
Well, and it has to do with moderation as well.
Right. A study found people who drink whiskey have a moderately lower chance of getting cancer thanks to all of the antioxidants.
Antioxidants.
Preventing other diseases, too. A study at New York University found people who drink whiskey in moderation have lower chances of getting strokes, dementia, heart disease, and blood clots.
All right.
I mean, that's mainly because they never leave the couch, but that's, I mean, in part because, no, it's not true. That's not true. And finally, whiskey can calm you down.
Well, yes.
Researchers in Toronto found one glass of whiskey can help with nerves and lower your heart rate. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of almost all alcohols.
All alcohols.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Typically.
To me, this article is very like spin, very spin heavy.
Right. Did Jack Daniels do this article?
Right. Like, it comes from coolmaterial.com, but I wouldn't be shocked if I found the Cool Material is owned by Jack Daniels or something like that. It does feel a little like once, you know. Mm,
but you can look at that that way about everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, anything
Absolutely.
Can be spun any direction, and we hear these articles, well, here's reasons to eat eggs. Here's reasons to not eat eggs. Here's reasons to drink whiskey. Here, and then you can read how many scientific or medical studies on reasons not to drink alcohol. So,
I know people that have difficulty making decisions, and then I know people that are like they're stuck. They just can't stop doing research on things, and they're still sitting there with their plate and the 12 dozen eggs, and not sure if they should eat the eggs or not because they just keep reading article. One tells them they should, one tells them they shouldn't, and this and that. We got a lot of information out there nowadays.
There is a lot of it,
and
some of it is not correct.
Yes, yes, and it's important to do your homework on these things. This article and the Cool Material people did their homework on this. I referenced it with two other different articles, and. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, this all adds up. But even that, I don't tell you to take my word for it. I can still encourage people to look into these things and find out. If anything, one, it's like building something. You feel good. You feel like you earn that information, and that feels good, like after you get done building something and looking at it. And I think it's fun. Like, I think it's fun to do your own homework. I think it's fun to do research. I think you find out more. You may go into it wanting to find out about eggs and come out of it knowing even more about something else.
Jump ropes.
Yes, yes. You know, you never know. Never know.
It could go any direction.
It could go any direction. I like that. I like the jump ropes. In our next article, we're talking about jump ropes. No, we're not. No, we're not. It'd be so great, though, if my next article
that
had to do
hilarious.
With jump ropes. Yes.
Did you ever jump rope for heart?
For heart?
For heart, yeah.
No.
It's an organization that in grade school, they'd come in and you do jump roping and you do these different exercises and you could win prizes and I don't know. It was something with
cool.
that. I did as a kid in school.
They should have done that in my old neighborhood. And in my old neighborhood, some of the most talented individuals were the jump rope players.
Mm.
Like the way these girls could jump in and out of there, and like and they were singing along with doing the jumping in and out, and like get two different ropes going on, and then one girl jumps in and the other one jumps in, and then like, all these different things. Like
they're cool and fun. We had those at grade school, and but they had like the heavy plastic links on the rope. So it wasn't just a rope, but it had all these like heavy plastic little links across it. So if you got hit by it, you knew it.
Those they'll have left a welt instantly.
It hurt. I was always kind of scared to run in.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting. Find this kind of interesting too, Melissa. Even if you don't care if this hack works, it might be fun just to try it anyways the next time you fly. A new study found the secret to beating jet lag.
Beating jet lag. Okay. Yeah. Probably not whiskey.
Nope, turns out not whiskey. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Qantas is adding a new 20-hour-long haul to Sydney. And we talked about this a little bit.
Okay.
And in this trip, it's a 20-hour trip from Sydney to New York.
Whoa.
So they partnered with the University of Sydney to figure out how people can avoid jet lag. Now we touched on this a little bit before. I've done some homework since, and they've released some other information. So I'm just getting it kind of the preset out there. Mm-hmm. 23 volunteers were monitored during simulated flights, so researchers could see if things like lighting scenarios and different menu options helped. They found that when people ate chocolate during the flight, they tended to sleep better on the plane, had fewer issues with jet lag after the flight, and also performed better on cognitive tests.
Interesting.
They think it might be because comfort foods like chocolate can make your body produce more tryptophan.
Okay.
And that's the same stuff that puts us to sleep.
Okay.
I brought up when we were talking about this the last time, I believe Seth and I were, I brought up the itis. Mm. That's what we used to call it back in the neighborhood was, you got a case of the itis. When you had too much turkey and you fell asleep.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what they called it.
Okay.
It's just one study about this, but they have done others since.
Hmm.
And looking at this, they have found overwhelming evidence that it's not just chocolate. It's whatever your, it's not just comfort foods. What are your comfort snacks? That's where it really kind of pulled into.
Hmm.
For some people, it might be chocolate. Other people, it might be Mike and Ike's or Laffy Taffy or something like that.
That's interesting. And then will also be very difficult for them to have the variety of snacks they need to appeal to everybody that's going to take that flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because to help combat. But it's something that they can put out there as a, hey, you're going to take a really long flight? Pack your favorite snack. We got your beverage.
And not only a great idea, not only that, but if I'm one of these companies, I'm getting in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, did you remember your snack? Grab some Nestle cookies, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever and stuff, and getting in on this, or even working with the air companies to promote their stuff.
Having vending machines right there in the waiting room, because that's something I don't remember seeing in any airport that I've been in. You know, you've got all your food vendors that you can hit up before you get to the waiting area, but once you're there and ready to board, there's no vending machines.
Yeah. Hmm.
Maybe that should be something somebody looks into.
Is
this our next business venture, James?
I think it's our next business venture.
Okay. Lots of chocolate.
Okay.
Mike and Ike's, apparently.
Mike and Ike's, we got that. All right.
Well, maybe some popcorn? I don't know.
We're going to get on that while I go ahead and unfreeze my computer. That is what I'll do during the break. We'll be back with some more fun. We got great stuff coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you.
Hi. Recommend getting your heart trampled on to anyone.
Yeah. Got some good stuff to get into before we wrap up the show at the top of the hour. I want to remind you all that we are back here from 3 to 4 this afternoon with Midday Magazine. Our guests, the Wood County Sheriff's Department, looking forward to hanging out with them for the hour. Encourage you to join us from 3 to 4 for that. And, of course, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Rafters hosting the Madison Mallards, looking to get back in the win column, looking to get this second half of the season going. Mm-hmm. We got to win. We got to win the division. We got to get in the playoffs. We got to do this. So win.
They got this.
Got it. Join us for Rafter Baseball all season long right here and get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com. Not sure how many people would have seen this with the headline kind of getting buried a little bit over the last week, but this came out on the 1st. The USPS is making changes in July. Here is what you need to know about your mail from the U.S. Postal Service.
Okay.
Costs will go up by 5 cents to mail a first-class international letter and by 3 cents on multiple items as USPS tries to offset inflation and bring in, quote, much-needed revenue, according to the agency. Oof. This month will mark the 4th price increase in 2 years on forever stamps, which have increased from 55 cents in 2021 to 66 cents by July 9th.
Wow.
Other costs also could go down with the new USPS Ground Advantage plan. All the changes will begin on Sunday, July 9th, and here is the other information you need to know. Again, forever stamps increasing from 63 to 66 cents. A 1 ounce letter will increase from 63 cents to 66 cents as well. A 1 ounce metered, thank you, mm-hmm. letter will increase with from 60 cents to 63 cents. Domestic postcards will increase from 48 cents to 51. And a 1 ounce letter mailed to another country will increase from $1.45 to $1.50. Postcards mailed to another country will increase from $1.45 to $1.50.
Wow. Wow. Postcards cost more than 50 cents.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Postal Service's new Ground Advantage plan starts this Sunday, July 9th, and will replace previous plans. Here is what you changes mean for you. Free package pickup service at homes or offices. Tracking is included. $100 insurance included on items. Packages shipped within 2 to 5 days. So, and more than 3% cheaper for retail customers and about 1% cheaper on commercial prices.
Hmm. Well, you know, I got to say, this is one area where I don't begrudge the prices going up. Yep. This is a service that is essential. It is an essential service to so many of to everybody in this country.
Yeah.
You hear arguments of, well, we just, you know, it should be the market making this. Why are they a government company anymore? The Postal Service was fundamental in connecting our country. Pony Express. The story of Pony Express is just awesome.
We had a Pony Express before we had a country.
Yeah. And we don't. So you put out the argument of, okay, well, what about FedEx? What about UPS? They don't deliver everywhere. They don't guarantee service to every mailbox in the country. The mm-hmm. U.S. Postal Service does.
Our Postal Service is also something that I would like to think that Americans take pride in. Mm-hmm. This is something that we created. We did.
Yeah.
This is our thing. The rest of the world saw our idea and started doing it. Like, I would take some pride in that. Mm-hmm. And the necessity of having a Postal Service. Businesses can go under. FedEx could go under. USPS could go under.
FedEx might go under after their truck thing that just went on.
Right? Yeah. So the argument of, oh, we don't need that anymore. We've evolved past that as a society. I get that there are certain things we have. I don't feel comfortable with that.
No.
We just went through a pandemic. Mm-hmm. We just went through a situation where we needed to get information to people through the government needed to get information to people through quick resources, mm-hmm. whether it was the funds that we got or other reasons. That doesn't happen without them.
No, the Postal Service was definitely integral in getting out that information.
I don't feel comfortable trusting a corporation, no matter how strong or pack and. Look, up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have said FedEx was a pretty stand-up company. seemed okay to me. I mean, there's some stuff that stand out, but every company's got some stuff that stands out. Then we get that story and like, whoa, you know. I mean,
yeah, and the story we're referencing is them cooking the books on their odometers and selling their trucks that had like 300,000, 400,000 miles on them, and the odometer said 140 or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's just ridiculous. It's not okay, obviously. Yeah. And it is a federal crime to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I'm not you. We worry about the Postal Service, and we need it around. But there's some things going on there with the joy in charge that just are problematic.
Yeah,
and you worry. How can you not?
Yeah, I think that it's important that the institution itself doesn't get taken down by any one individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we need to keep an eye on and need to work on, need to be focused on that. Because I don't want to – I mean, I'm watching literally a FedEx truck right now backing into a building and everything and thinking, I don't know if I'm going to see that much longer. I don't know if a year from now I'm going to be seeing that. I genuinely don't. I know that I'll be seeing mail carriers
yes.
a year from now. I know that will be here. And mm-hmm. that has to not only stand for something, I would think that is something that you would want to champion, that you right. would want to use the Postal Service
to know that we can rely
more.
On that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always for, you know, if I get the choice and it's a few cents more, I still always choose the Postal Service.
My post, same here. There's no That Ain't Right story to me about this. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
I know we do That Ain't Right stories in this segment often and everything. I thought that information was important.
Mm-hmm.
The That Ain't Right part to me about the story is the fact that they need to do these things. That this is a necessity still, and that they have to fight for to you know, hey, why we're doing this and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and fight for people to work there and for their retirements, and there's a lot involved in what's going on with the Postal Service.
We've got a lot going on locally with some really good stuff happening. I want to touch on some good stories of the day. Melissa has our opening one.
Yeah, so this opened on Friday the 30th. This is a juried multimedia exhibition exploring the beauty and brilliance of the monarch butterfly. It's in Port Edwards at the Kathy and Patrick McGrath Monarch. They are presented by Kathy and Patrick McGrath, monarch butterfly enthusiasts, from Port Edwards, Wisconsin, and the exhibit will continue. It opened on Friday. It will go through August 15th at the Alexander House. They're open 1 to 4 on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, or by special appointment. So you want to get down, and monarch butterflies are obviously, you know, so important to mm-hmm. pollination, to the propagation of our crops and our natural wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
yeah.
milkweed plants, the blossoms smell really good.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. They do. It's Wednesday. I think we know what that means around here.
Wicked awesome word?
Yes. And bingo!
Bingo!
Bingo! Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. You rock. join them at 430 West Jackson Street every Wednesday. They open their doors at 5, kickoff bingo at 6:30. Not only going to have a great time, great atmosphere, wonderful people, but the Elks Lodge, you can know that you are putting back into your community because mm-hmm. that is what the Elks Lodge does.
Oh, yeah. And Two Hearts Catering is there, too, so you're going to get good food.
You know, it's a great night. Every time I pass there on a Wednesday night, jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
Just packed.
Who doesn't like bingo?
It's a lot of fun. Go ahead and get some bingo in your life. Get on over to the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street tonight and every Wednesday for bingo.
You just have to bring your own trolls.
nice. And I want to mention this, too. The Summer Food Service Program that provides nutritious meals to children during the summer when free and reduced school meals are typically unavailable. Free meals are available to all children 18 years of age and younger. Some of these wrap up in July, so mm-hmm. keep that in mind. Like the breakfasts that are available at Lincoln High School here in Wisconsin Rapids are only available until July 20th from 7:30 to 8:30. And the Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School from 8 a.m. to 8:30, and that is going until July 28th.
Oh, good.
Mead Park near the Splash Pad has lunches available until August 18th from 11:30 to 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And Winter Park Shelter has lunches available from until August 18th from 11:30 to 12:30. This is meals are consumed on site.
Yes,
must
you have
be
to eat them there.
On site. We appreciate everybody behind this that makes this happen.
And all the volunteers and all the donations that go towards it.
So many great people out mm-hmm. there
making
sure.
Our community stronger and making sure our kids are fed.
Yeah. Thank you to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a world story here, but staying in the Midwest, animals at a zoo in Chicago got to celebrate the 4th and beat the heat with some frozen red and white blue treats.
Oh.
The polar bears got blocks of red and white and blue ice and frozen fruit in them. And the seals and sea lions got treats too.
Nice.
If you are looking for a palate cleanser.
Yeah. Cute videos.
Go ahead and check that out from those. And it all thanks to the Brookfield Zoo that did this. Lincoln Park Zoo is a great one down there too. And of course, the Milwaukee Zoo, our Henry Valley Zoo in Madison, our local zoo here, amazing zoos. Visit your local zoos this summer and help them keep them open. Help them keep them funded. Help them keep, by the number of people they get in the zoo, that's how they can say how much government funding they can get and those sorts of things. So, Nathan, I'm just going to the zoo. You're going to the zoo and you're helping the zoo stay alive.
Yes. You're supporting your community.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. And it, again, similar to what we've been talking about today, not only are these things great, they're fun.
Right.
They're fun.
Well, and it's also, it's always fun to be around animals. And you have the opportunity to see ones that you don't in the wild here.
Great show today, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, James.
Seth and Melissa and I will be back tomorrow for more morning show right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.